Now let us turn, please, in the Word of God to Judges chapter 11. Judges and chapter 11. And we'll commence from verse 1. Judges 11. And verse 1. Let us read God's word. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy word. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpeh. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Now the last time, friends, we began to look at this man Jephthah, this another judge that was raised by God in a very sad time in the nation of Israel. And as we thought before, well, where is this fitted? Where does Judges fit in the history of Israel, especially? Judges chronicles for us, it's the history, that period of time, those years in Israel between the death of Joshua and the appointment of Saul as their first king. But we see in this book many things, but mostly what we see, this cycle of the children of Israel being led by God and blessed by God, and yet they turn again and again and again against God. They backslide. They fall away. They worship all kinds of other gods. And this cycle repeats itself. They turn away from God. They would refuse to obey the Lord. They begin to worship other gods. They begin to do all kinds of things. And then the Lord brings upon them judgments. And then they come to the end of themselves and they feel they cannot save themselves. They cry to God and God raises judges. Now, judges are figureheads. Yes, they were those who are called in the scriptures as saviors of Israel, but also what they were pointers, they were figureheads pointing to Jesus Christ, There were types of Christ, in to some degree, the great judge. But what marks this book, as we have seen again and again, and as it's recorded in Judges 21 and verse 25, is that in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that can be quite discouraging for us. It shows us, are they, in this day and age in which we are living in, aren't people doing that which is right in their own eyes? Whatever feels right, you should do it, irrespective of what the consequences are. You live for the moment, we are told. And so that's the consequences are not seen until people fall into it, and then they want somebody to rescue them. They want family to rescue them. They want government to rescue them. They want the church to rescue them. But sadly, for some, the cycle is repeated. Now, what we find in, and I won't go through all the things that was mentioned before, we see in Jephthah a man of God who was not a perfect man, but he was a man who led Israel into better days. God used him. He had problems. He was weak in certain areas in his life. And he had a bad background, we could say, yet God used him. He was rejected by his own people. His own family rejected him. Why was that? Because he was born out of wedlock. His mother was a harlot. His mother was a prostitute. And what a blight that was upon his life. His father was not a good man. But yet Jephthah was used by God. We are told that Jephthah was a man of valor. That's what we saw. A mighty man of valor. He had strength, ability. He was an efficient man. We saw that this matter of his birth was a challenge to him. But it was something that by God's grace, he broke away out of that cycle. He didn't follow his father's footsteps. That's something else we saw. And we thought, we don't have to continue on in the way that others have gone. We don't have to even repeat our own past mistakes. We can stop in our tracks and we can turn. Look to God and turn to Him. That's what anyone does. When we first come to know Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins. We come to recognize that we have sinned against God. We have been far from God. And we turn from sin to the Lord Jesus. And He saves us. And we begin to follow Him. Now, that following Him is not perfect. And yet, it's a different course. It's a different direction we are taking. And it's all by His grace. We see the conflict in Jephthah's life. We saw this last time with his brothers and with others. He was thrown away, thrown out. And so he left. But then also we saw last time, without going into much details, that when he left them, then there were certain companions who came to him. There were certain people who came, these vagabonds, these others who, when he went to the land of Tob, in verse 3, we are told, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. We said these vain men, these were themselves bankrupt. They themselves were people who were useless in the eyes of other people. But they gathered somehow. There was an attraction in Jephthah. Somehow they saw in him, he knows us. He knows our situation. He knows our background. And he's a man of God. He would be our leader. We would have him. The influence that he had upon others. For good. That's something else. We won't go into the details. But there are a number of things we learned last time from just this portion. These few verses, these first three verses, was that the way Jephthah turned by God's grace, that all those negative things against him, to the positives. The challenges in his life was changed. And all of these things were done by the Lord's mercy, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the psalmist says. God, we saw that He delights in using the unusable. He does that. And we can apply that to our own lives. What's the state of our lives? Are we very useful for God? What's been your background? And we saw too in the situations where people are around us, people who we can influence, let us influence them for good. Let us lead them into better things. Let our example be one that will make people better, not worse. And also we have seen that in the case of Jephthah, even though he was rejected, yet by God's grace, that rejection was used. Those disadvantages were used to make him beneficial. Now let's move on. Our time is ticking. To look at verses 4 onwards. Let's examine these words. It says in verse 4, "And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel." So Jephthah was rejected. That was the first thing we saw last time. Now, the second thing in this portion, verses 4 to 8, we see the opportunity that Jephthah receives to lead. The opportunity to lead. We were told that Jephthah is now living in exile. He's something of, we could say, to use the storybook language, he's the Robin Hood kind of figure. He's protecting the Israelites and making the best out of his situation. When his own people look for him, they come to him with this astonishing request. They ask him for something before he was thrown away as refuse. But let's take a moment to examine this request of the people. Here is an opportunity that is provided for him. Let's look at the request. In verses 4 and 5, we see the cause of it. This request came because they were forced to ask him. The cause of it. So verse 4, it says that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. Verse 5, "And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob." So the nation is under attack. The Ammonites are trying to take over the land. The children of Ammon were, who were they? They were the descendants of Abraham's nephew, Lot. So in some ways they were long distance relatives. And that happened through sin. If you remember, Lot had the incestuous relationship with one of his own daughters. And the child that was born, Ammon, was the head of the Ammonites and that tribe. So the Ammonites were cousins to the Jews. But they were also their continual, perpetual enemies. So Israel is under attack and they do not have a strong leader to guide them. You see, what they had been doing, every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. There was a leader to be found. Anybody who was going to lead, he was going to do whatever he liked to do. Isn't our nation similar to that? People doing their own thing? Various politicians, they change and to and fro, they're like chameleons changing color every few years. They shed skin like snakes. And doing what suits them well at the time. And so Israel really did not have a proper leader. They couldn't congregate around somebody who would lead them and save them. So they needed a savior. They remembered Jephthah. They remembered him. Look at the character of the request in verse 6. "And they said unto Jephthah, 'Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. The elders of his people come to him with this request that Jephthah would come back. Come back. Be our captain. This term captain is a military leader. The term is, it is a military term that is used in the Hebrew language. Be our commander in this fight, in this battle. Come and win the war. At one point, they had asked him to leave. They had rejected him. They didn't want to be with him. They didn't want his name to be a blight upon them. Now they want him, they are asking him to lead. What a change of mind. What a change of direction. You see, my friends, you might take encouragement from this. People around you. Things that they do, the way they might reject things. Reject things about you. Reject things about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes natural to them. But you don't know what God does in people's lives. You don't know what things are going on in the background. What things are flooding into their lives. But will they remember you? It's a wonderful thing when people come to you and say, I know you will pray. Can I ask you to pray? Will they remember you? And here it was something when the request Jephthah. From Jephthah's point of view, this was a call to leadership, an opportunity. This is just a reminder that the call to service or leadership, some work for God might come at any time. It comes without notice. We are to be ready. We are to be prepared to answer God's call when it comes. Our duty is to be faithfully serving the Lord where we are. We should ever do His will where He has placed us. We must ever learn or strive to learn all the lessons He wants to teach us now. It is the Lord's responsibility, not your responsibility, not my responsibility, to open up doors of opportunity for some kind of service. It is our responsibility to grow where we are planted. That's exactly what happened to Jephthah. And that is what then bears fruit. You've seen it in your own life. When you've tried to push this way and push that way. As someone said to me yesterday, I've done this and I've done that, but none of it has been fruitful. None of it has lasted. And so trust the Lord in where you are right now. And where and how He sees fit, He will open up the way. If we will make our hearts available to Him, He will give us plenty of opportunities for service in His kingdom's work. When we serve Him faithfully today, He will look after our tomorrows. That's something that you learn from Jephthah. Do you find in Jephthah, there's no mention of worries, there's no mention of him trying to find a way to get back in. No. You find him, even in his silence. Even in the fact that nothing is mentioned about his activity to get back to his people, a sense of patience. And then if we move on to verses 7 and 8, you see something of the response of Jephthah. And he is asking for a commitment from them. In verse 7, look at it. It says, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And then in verse 8, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So in verse 7, what Jephthah does, he does press certain things home to them. He recounts their past attitude towards him. He reminds them that they were the ones who asked him to leave. You were the ones who told me to go. You said you didn't want me. You said that I was not worthy to be amongst you. Now you are the ones who are saying, come back, be our leader, be our captain. And then in verse 8, they reissue their promise that Jephthah will be their head. No, they change the language here from captain to head. They don't want him just to be the military leader. They want him to be their head. They want him to be their ruler. The word head in the Hebrew, it means the top, the summit, the chief. So they want him to come back and to take over. So they're offering him control over their lives. And that is a big thing. That's a big request. They have come to realize that this Jephthah is not what they thought he was. Somehow they've come to realize they can't trust him with their lives. He has somehow gained their trust. Do you see that? You wouldn't put your life into the hand of somebody who you don't trust. You see, what had happened in the past was very sad. They had no use of him before, but there is a change. When the bottom fell, when it fell out, they ran to him for the help that they needed. You don't know how people change. You don't know how God leads in people's lives, that people don't have to stay the same as they have been. Expect the Lord to work. Pray for people. Don't think because somebody mistreated you in the past, God has not been dealing with them. Maybe 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, maybe just last week. You don't know what God has been doing. But you think about the way they treated him and the way they treat the Lord. People today, they treat the Lord. People today, they don't think much about God. They don't even give thanks at their dinner table. They think that everything they possess is their own. They refuse to serve him, they refuse to worship him, honor his word, honor his will, honor his house. They treat God in this nation. People treat God like he's an unwanted intruder into their lives. He's the one who makes the rules. He's the one who makes their lives miserable. He's the joy kill. Many people, and I don't want to be rude in any way, but they treat God as a spare tire. He's brought out when there is a need. They use him for a certain season, a short time, as long as it suits them, and then when their life carries on going, then they forget all about it. They treat God in this way. They bring him out of the box and then put him back in the box again. What a shame that is. How much better it would be for you and I to walk with the Lord each day. And then when we cannot walk, when we lose all our strength, when things go in such a way that we no longer can continue in certain paths, or we are confounded, we are confused, then to trust in the Lord to carry us, continue to strengthen us, continue to guide us in our lives. Not just to bring him out. He must be in our lives all the time. We must commune with him every day. So here is this opportunity. That these people, remember, they could have had Jephthah from the beginning. But they didn't. But somehow God has worked that they are, their eyes are open to their need. And oftentimes that is the case. If we have to come to the end of ourselves to then begin to think about Christ and the Bible and those kinds of things. Don't let that happen. Seek the Lord. Begin each day with God. Seek to follow Him day by day. Now, the third thing, or the final thing I want to point out here, is verses 9 through to 11, where we see the response then of Jephthah to the request of the people. So they say, be our leader, be our head, Jephthah. We will obey you. We have learned our lessons. And then we see the response. He could have said, no, I won't do anything for you. But this is where we see glimpses of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of our desperation, when we cry to Him, He does not refuse a sinner who comes to Him. And here is that Jephthah said, I will. I will be your leader. What would you do if you were Jephthah and those hateful rejectors came to you and asked for a favor? Would you respond like he did? So his is an amazing response. It's not a natural thing that comes to man. It's a spiritual strength here. So let's take a moment to examine it. Look at verse 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them before me, shall I be your head? Can you see he makes a reference about the Lord? I won't be able to help you. It's the Lord who will deliver. He recognizes that. He puts the point, the seed into their mind. Don't trust in me. Trust in the Lord. The Lord will deliver you. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us. Do you see? Before they had said nothing about the Lord. Now He has influenced them to begin to think about God. The Lord be witness between us if we do not according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. So after confirming that their offer is valid, Jephthah consents to go with them and to lead them to victory. His treatment of them is vastly different from their treatment of him. Here is grace. Here is grace. They did not deserve it, but he shows grace towards them. He actually loves them. They're his people. What else could he do? He couldn't refuse the Lord's people. And Christ hears, and he loves his people. Even though they had abused him, even though they had treated him so badly, Jephthah is not bitter. There is no bitterness in his language. He was able to get over the things that they did to him. He had forgiven them, you see. He was able to see past their mean-spirited actions, and he saw the hand of God in this. And so he says it is the Lord. And they saw the hand of God in it. And so they refer to the Lord too. Here Jephthah saw the call of God upon him. That the Lord is in this place. What we are talking about is in the presence of the Lord. This is not a simple chat between two parties. God is here. And that's what we read, isn't it? At the end, I mentioned it last time. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. There was a recognition that God was there. One thing that will become clear as you read about Jephthah is that he was a man who honored the Lord in his life. He might have been an exile, from Israel, but he was never an exile from God. And that is so important. Unlike his relatives, he proved his trust in the Lord. And he proved that God had worked in him. By the way he treated others. That goes a long way, friends. The way you treat others, it goes a long way. Whether we accept it or not, how we treat others is a direct reflection of the place of God, the place God holds in our hearts. If we can spitefully mistreat and attack those who are made in God's image and bought by the blood of the Son of God, it does not say much about our opinion of Him. When we love Him as we should, we will love His people as we ought. And we will love others who are unconverted as we ought. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ said about loving our neighbor? He links it with loving God. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 22 and verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Or else, in the first epistle of John, the Apostle John writes in chapter 3 and verses 14 through to 16, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." How can we know? What are one of the marks of a Christian? Because we love the brethren. We love other Christians. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, are these brothers that he's talking about, are they perfect? Are they going to agree with everything we agree with? No, but are they truly our brothers and sisters? Are they truly believers? Then it says we would lay down our lives for them. Or in chapter 4 of 1 John and verse 20, we read, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" Do you see? Jephthah here shows the grace of God. Shows something of Christ there. Showing love to the loveless. And then, the final point is the advancement in the latter part of verse 11. Well, let us read all of it. "Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah." The people honored their words. They were not now changing colors. They're not saying one thing and doing another now. That was a good influence upon them from Jephthah. And so they elevated the reject and made him their ruler. He became their head and he became their captain. And then, as we have seen before, Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Mizpah, do you know what Mizpah means? It means the watchtower. It's recorded in Genesis 31 and verses 33 to 35. It's the place, there it was called Mizpah. It was there that Jacob and Laban, if you remember, made an agreement that they would not attack the other. They agreed. We will not be attacking each other. Not that they would be each other's friends, but they made peace with each other. They left, not as friends, but at least they had covenanted not to take sword against each other. And so they called upon the Lord to witness their covenant. And that is what Jephthah is doing here. He's calling on the Lord to look upon the promises made to him by his people. He's calling on the Lord to watch over him as he goes out to battle. Because you see, he didn't even know if he would come alive out of this. He didn't even know if he would be victorious in the battle. But do you see his trust in the Lord? He was putting everything in the hand of God. I don't know if I will come out alive. I don't know what will happen. I don't know if we would be victorious. But the Lord knows. But our strength comes from the Lord. He is the one who must cause us to win the fight. So he's calling upon God. He's acknowledging that the Lord is actually king. He's looking to the Lord for help. That he needs that help to win the victory. In verse 9, Jephthah knows that any victory they might enjoy will only come from the Lord. And do you, please remember this. It would do us well to remember that any victories we might enjoy in this life, any advancement, any progress, any peace, it only comes from God. God delighting upon us. Victories don't come from us. It doesn't come from our efforts. It doesn't come from our skill, abilities. Victory comes from the Lord and from a relationship that is centered in Him and in Him alone. Is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? This is what the Apostle Paul says. He thanks God. And he says, yes, I'm bound up. I've been tortured. I have experienced all kinds of things. And yet I am victorious. More than a conqueror, he says in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, he thanks God. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just that we receive victory from God. It is through Jesus Christ. We must acknowledge God in everything we do. We must call upon Him in everything we do. We should look to Him, trust Him for the victories we seek in life. The various challenges that you're facing in life right now, maybe with your weaknesses, with your old age, uncertainties, the things you're confused about. You know what to do about this matter, that matter. What will happen to you in 2 years' time, 5 years' time? What will happen to you next week? Maybe those things are struggles. What will happen with your business? What will happen with your home? What will happen with your children? How can you have God's blessing? It all comes from the Lord. Trust in Him then. This is the lesson here. Trust in Him. Here is a man who was a reject, and yet he becomes a ruler. Most of us will not become rulers in our lifetime, but we do influence others. We ought to mentor others, older women ought to teach the younger women about life, about homekeeping, about loving husbands, having children. Various other things of life. Older men. Mentoring the younger ones. How to follow the Lord. But there are many lessons here that I trust you have taken some at least mental note of. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But the Lord can use anyone and make something special for His own glory in our mundane life. But also, we have thought about that there may have been a cycle of sin in our background. But that it can be broken today. We don't have to follow our past. And also we learned that God can use anyone who trusts in Him despite our past. Despite our families, despite our failures of the past. A 20-pound note, you think about it, has the same value, whether it is new, whether it is worn, whether it is torn, if it's hanging together somehow, still it is a 20-pound note. You can hand it in. You can make use of it. Its value never changes. Do you feel broken up? Do you feel all kinds of discouragements in you? Well, give the matters to God. Maybe you think the past has been a waste. So many things has happened and you've been distracted and this thing happened, that thing happened. You think, well, it's been a lifetime or years of waste. Well, give the matters to God then. Also, we have learned that your treatment of others reveal how you really are before God. And also, finally, that we've learned that you and I should serve God faithfully today and trust Him with all of our tomorrows. Here is something we learn from Jephthah. And if God can touch Jephthah, and if He can, as He has recorded this scripture and that history of what happened to that man, if He can touch us through this, then we ought to obey His voice and do exactly what He's calling us to do. Well, may the Lord help us then in all of these thoughts to apply the Word of God to ourselves. This is not just for our enjoyment. This is not just to find more information about different individuals and characters. But this is written for our learning, the Apostle Paul says, so that we might glorify God. May the Lord then bless each one. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that even though we have read just a few verses, there is so much in it and we have only touched the surface. Lord, forgive us for how slow we are in learning, how blind we are to things, how we repeat things again and again and we become so discouraged. We think at times there is no change. There is no hope for change. But Lord, all of these things in Thy Word teaches us that Thou art in control. And Thou canst even use us. Give us a heart that will listen to Thee and turn to Thee. Give us a heart that will not do that which is right in our own eyes. Give us a heart for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came even not from this earth, but He came from heaven to lead us not to live a better life in this world, not to live a moral life and a righteous life now, but He died so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have a home in heaven. So bless Thy Word to each one of us and receive our praise and thanks for this man Jephthah, whom Thou didst use. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.